Welcome to Beyond the Text, a Conning podcast featuring insights from our insurance research department. I'm your host, Alyssa Gittleman, a director and head of consulting and customer operations here at Conning. Join me as I welcome analysts and guests to provide insights on recent publications and emerging industry trends. Today, I am bringing two analysts here to talk about the biggest buzzword in the industry, AI. I am joined by Jay Sarzin, a director in our insurance research department, as well as Manu Mazumdar, a director and head of data analytics and insurance technology here at Conning Insurance Research. Manu is also a member of Conning's AI Governance Committee. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So today I'm really excited to bring you both here to discuss ITC, which you both just got back from about a month ago and hopefully are finally recovered from. And I also wanted to talk about the work we're doing here in insurance research and how we're covering AI. So if that sounds good, I'll kind of jump into a couple of questions that we can get into.
Fire away.
Awesome. So with ITC, there's over 10,000 attendees, I think, that are now there, all focused on insurance technology. What were some of the key takeaways you took away from the sessions you attended and the conversations you had?
Yeah, well, obviously, we didn't get to meet all 10,000 people. That would have been a Herculean effort. But I did manage to have a lot of conversations with some of my contemporaries, people I've met. I mean, this is my sixth ITC that I've attended. And every year, the enthusiasm for artificial intelligence grows. So naturally, what I detected from people was that there was a lot of excitement about it. There was a lot of excitement about the possibilities, where it could take the insurance industry, how it could make it more efficient, how it could make it more fair, all those possibilities. That said, there's still a lot of trepidation on the part of these insurance executives, largely because a lot of these concepts are out there without really having been fully proven out. I think that a lot of insurance executives love to be fast followers, but they don't necessarily like to be leaders. I think that's kind of the mantra that I've stuck to for the most of the past couple of years. And really, I think as these providers come out with more use cases that are more concrete, that will provide more proof points for insurance carriers to hang their hats on, I think we'll begin to see a little bit more of an uptake. But for right now, I think there are concerns about, number one, is it proven? Number two, what would be the impact on policyholders and prospects? I think that there's a lot of concern about, using data and using AI to help make a decision. And remember, I just want to stress here that no one is believing that this is going to be a full machine decision. It will be a tool. It will be a tool to help a human being make a decision. But even then, they're still concerned about how policyholders will be impacted. And then, of course, there's that ever-present possibility of regulatory impact from government. No one's really quite certain how government is going to react to the infiltration of artificial intelligence into decision-making on a claim or on an underwriting decision.
That was comprehensive, and thanks, Jay. That was pretty good. I would concur. There are 10,000 people, like you said, Alyssa. What we typically do, and again, this is also my sixth or seventh ITC, and what we typically do is kind of divide the cohort of attendees. And so I kind of tend to ignore about 9,950 of those and generally focus in on typically what's beneficial to us. And what's beneficial to us from insurance research as well as from Conning as an asset manager for insurance companies is what the executives of consulting companies are thinking. McKinsey is one of the lead sponsors of ITC. And so I spent a lot of time speaking with folks from these consulting companies, some of whom are clients of Conning's insurance research. And what I found out was that the consultants generally tend to be the folks who predict what's coming in the future. They are the harbingers of what the industry is going to take a focus on. And the three key things that they are all focused on is how AI is going to improve operational efficiency. There are companies that they are consulting with who already have gained about 98% operational efficiency. But mind you, when they talk about operational efficiency, nobody, like Jay mentioned, is talking about getting rid of people. They're saying, if I could do 100 things yesterday, today, with AI's enablement, I'll be able to do 200 things with the same amount of people. So that's the kind of cadence of thought. And then there is a whole lot of discussion around executives getting an understanding of how they would adopt AI. Typically, the operational folks are the ones who are fast and furious in trying to adopt some of the tools, but the executives, they need to understand from a business perspective, and so the consulting companies were thinking about all of those. We can expand on that later, but...
No, that's great. Thank you both for sharing that. And I just know here at Conning, when we started talking about AI, and I can't put a number of years ago, but at that point when it was introduced, we really had that, oh, we're going to just push a button and it's going to be done. That was the intro thought. And it's good to know that executives and everyone at IT is well aware that that's not what's going to happen. And I know at Conning, we're very well aware of that now too. And so I was really hoping, Manu, you could talk about what we're doing here at Conning around AI, what we're seeing, and just some of those top of mind trends that we're particularly looking at.
Yeah, so there are several things that we are taking a look at. First and foremost, much like everybody else in the insurance cohort, we are also very focused on understanding AI governance as it works with the rules and regulations currently in place, but also what NAIC and other jurisdictions are going to predict down the road. There are four key sectors of initiatives that we at Conning are taking a look at. First is AI model initiatives. So we have developed a Conning quantitative predictive factor model, which helps with our prediction and allows us to understand our asset management predictions better and capabilities better. We also developed a retrieval augmented generation model, typically known in the industry as a RAG. Just let me take a second to explain what that is. Oftentimes, you will have a large language model. There are four or five that the industry has already adopted. But the large language models, the rub against them is that they tend to hallucinate. Sometimes those hallucinations are really not hallucinations. Let me give you one quick example on that to elucidate. You know, so if you asked a large language model to say, tell me something about travelers, and that large language model responds saying, travelers are people who like to travel, they have wanderlust in them, all of that would be good responses, but within the walls of travelers, the insurance company, those would be hallucinated answers. Mm-hmm. So when you put a RAG on top of that, those RAGs then get your answers to be more in line with what you're looking for. For example, if you had a RAG within the large language model that Travelers is using, and you asked what is Travelers, then that RAG will give you an answer that says Travelers is a PNC insurance company with, you know, Dow 30 company, et cetera, et cetera. Makes it more real. We at Conning are also developing our own RAG, so to say. And then there are several initiatives that we are working on for our investment process. We are utilizing the machine learning for identification of emerging risk themes. We are creating a dynamic quantitative dashboard that'll help in our predictions as well. We are working on creating an earnings call analyzer. We are working on utilizing natural language processing sentiment trend analyzers. And then there are initiatives to improve our process efficiencies and productivity. For example, we are creating our own chatbot for insurance research library, which you are well aware of, Alyssa. We're also trying to utilize Copilot for integrating various parts of the sales and operations value chain, and several other projects like that. So lots of work going on, all under the guidance and framework of governance, so that we can do our work keeping in mind the rules and regulations.
Great. And on that, I wanted to come back to Jay, who also just mentioned that word regulation.
Yeah.
How has regulation impacted the adoption and implementation of these AI tools?
Well, you know, a lot of what Manu just talked about, a lot of those operations will be internal facing. So I can't imagine that government is going to be particularly tense about how those types of operations get executed within an organization. As far as operations that get executed for external facing operations, surprisingly, government I think, is embracing the reality that AI is going to be a part of our landscape for the foreseeable future. I mean, they're not overtly hostile to it. When you hear about the regulatory bite of government, I think at this point it's more of a regulatory nip, like a love tap, maybe for lack of a better term. And the truth is that most states, well, insurance obviously is regulated mostly by state commissioners. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's no federal regulation for insurance. At least not at this point. But for right now, we stick with the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. And that organization really tends to kind of have a say of where regulation goes and, you know, what direction it heads. So right now, what we're faced with is the most recent action taken by NAIC. It's the model bulletin that was issued in December of last year. And basically, that model bulletin addresses the need to have transparency, the need to have a, you know, no discriminatory practices that can be that can result from artificial intelligence, and of course it entails data protection. All right, so you know, I think artificial intelligence on its own just is a tool. It's only dangerous when it ingests data that, you know, personally identifiable information, things of that nature, that can be used in a way to potentially move someone who might be thought of as a good risk into a bad risk because they're in the wrong zip code, because they have the wrong income, you know, whatever the case may be. So, but I think that the key is that what they're saying to those insurance carriers that are using artificial intelligence, if you can explain your decisions, if you use artificial intelligence, if you can explain your decisions, and you can demonstrate that you're not discriminating unfairly against certain groups of people when making your underwriting decisions, when making your claim decisions, and as long as you can demonstrate that you're keeping the data that's used to help you arrive at these decisions safe, everything should be copacetic. Now, the key thing that I want to stress is that at this point, there is no real hard and fast regulation. What we have right now is what we call a framework. Right. So meaning NAIC has set out a framework for other state insurance commissions to follow and potentially adopt as enforceable regulation. And I think that will come about in the next couple of years. I think you're already starting to see some state legislatures, notably Colorado, California, and Connecticut. They're really driving ahead and putting into the legal code laws and regulations that can be enforced. So if you're determined that you're in a position as an insurance carrier and you're, you know, inadvertently discriminating against a certain group of people, you'll be called out on it and fined or punished in some other way, shape, or form. But I think, you know, again, surprisingly, AI generally seems to be welcomed by these regulators. They just seem to understand that it's going to be a part of the insurance process, and in all likelihood, it will make the insurance process better, more customer-friendly, more efficient, more fair, all those things. So fingers crossed. Yeah. We shall see.
Great. Thank you. And I just wanted to spend a couple moments on have Manu kind of talk about, here at Conning, we've done an AI study for the past 2 years. We've surveyed insurance executives, and I know that both of you are working on getting that survey up. I think it's actually live right now, and we're into that third year. So I wanted to just hear, what do you hope to uncover in this report, in the survey this year? What is the focus?
Great question, Alyssa. And like you said, this is the third year that we've actually focused on doing surveys on this. But we've been, at Insurance Research, we've been focusing in on AI since about 2018, right? So there's been a lot of work that's gone on behind the scene. Let me touch on a couple of the key highlights from this last survey that Jay and I partnered to work on. You were also involved, by the way. So the three of us partnered to work on. The key takeaways were that 77% of the companies that we surveyed, and we surveyed about 100 top C-suite and decision-making executives of insurance companies, 77% of them said that they were in some stage of adopting AI as part of their value chain, right? That was a key finding from the last survey that we did. The second key finding was that machine learning and predictive analytics was one of the highest amongst all technologies across the overall value chain, 44% adoption ratio on that. And that the technology that has the greatest potential, of course, was large language models, by 77% of the executives responding that they were piloting different areas of large language models to incorporate within their value chain. So having said that, what are some of the things that we are expecting to come out for the survey that we are in the middle of doing right now, that's going to be published in the first quarter of 2025? We expect more adoption of large language models. That number we fully expect to grow from piloting into early or full adoption. We expect that wearables or telematics, which had not played a large part in last year's survey or the survey year before, is going to probably come of age this year, given all of the indications that Jay and I have seen. Jay recently attended a Workman's Compensation Conference where he uncovered some of those trends as well. So we expect those. And then the one area that I think is going to be a breakout this year from all other survey years is generative AI and its capability on adopting chain of thought. Chain of thought is one of those landmark discoveries or implementations that the AI world has kind of come up with now. Those technologies will help companies understand and predict how to adopt generative AI better in their workforce and value chain. So Gen AI's role in chain of thought is going to probably be the breakout discovery for the next survey. That's what I think.
Great. I look forward to reading that and seeing what you uncover. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. Thank you both so much for joining me, and thank you all for listening to this episode. If you have any questions, please email insuranceresearch@conning.com. We hope you'll subscribe to this podcast and join us for the next episode as we stay up to date on industry trends. And we also hope that you look out for that new report on AI in Q1 of 2025. Thank you.
It was a pleasure joining
you. Pleasure. Thank you, Alyssa.
Thanks.